Hello, everybody, and welcome to Late to the Party, an unreliable guide to geekdom with your hosts, Rob,
Joe,
and Kelsey.
Hi, folks. Today's episode, we're going to talk about a slightly controversial topic. We're going to do internet culture, and it's going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. But as part of internet culture, one of the things that we find, especially among our own community of nerds, that we like doing most on the internet is pointing out mistakes.
Absolutely. And in keeping with that tradition, we're going to talk about, for this first section, a couple of the mistakes we've made over the past few episodes. over all of our episodes up till now.
Lucky 13.
Yes, ooh. Lucky 13. Not including the musical episode, because we actually recorded that earlier tonight. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Don't ruin the illusion.
I continue to ruin the illusion every time. I'm sorry.
So, we're going to go through the various errors that have been pointed out to us. There are probably more that we haven't been pointed out yet.
Yep.
But that's okay. If you come up with errors that you hear or things you just want to say, comment to us. By all means, do. We're going to acknowledge the fact that we screwed up and that's okay.
There's a reason we call this the unreliable guide to geekdom, because we know we're going to screw up. But this one, the first one we've got, goes all the way back to the first episode, and it's been pointed out to me at least twice, and by a couple other people. And we mentioned this previously in another episode, but our friend Klaus and our friend Alex both mentioned that during the opening episode, when I said I was a sports nerd, and I said I can give you stats from the 1987 World Series between the Minnesota Twins and the Arizona Cardinals. What I meant to say was the St. Louis Cardinals, the baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals, not the Arizona Cardinals, because obviously they lost in the World Series. They're a football team. And this was the best thing. My friend Alex calls me on his drive to from Michigan to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Then he calls me up and says, "We're listening to your podcast, and I have a bone to pick with you." I'm like, "What? You got something wrong? Oh, what was it? Arizona Cardinals played in the World Series?" And I'm just like, "Oh no! It's I'm proud of the fact that I know baseball." And the fact that I made that mistake is so disappointing to me. So,
the next one I want to go through, this one comes from Amanda. She pointed out that we did a whole episode on cult films and never mentioned Clue.
Clue the movie!
Which is definitely a cult classic.
And it is our fault for missing that one.
However, we're talking about a lot of stuff that are ridiculously huge topics. We're going to have to revisit these things at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be another episode at some point on cult movies. There's going to be another episode on cons. There's going to be another episode on just about everything.
We're definitely doing another episode on Star Trek, for sure.
Yeah.
I think
probably another one on Star Wars.
We are talking about doing another one on Star Wars right after the movie comes out.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we've missed. Absolutely. In the cult film episode, we talk about Highlander, and Highlander is a franchise unto itself. They've got a series, and we can talk about the series too. There's D&D. You can talk all day long about that. You can talk. There's a lot of stuff we could, and we'll definitely go back.
We ramble enough as it is. I mean,
yeah,
these episodes are over an hour each one?
Between just under an hour and just over an hour. And we talk about a lot of stuff in them.
Yeah, an hour is not long enough to go over this stuff.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, you are absolutely right. We did miss out on mentioning Clue, and we will talk about it the next time we talk about cult classics.
All right, and this is why it's so important for you guys to write into us what you think about the show, because we want to talk about things you guys want to hear about. So,
yeah. And I've got another one going back. Our friend Sean Beveridge likes to text me specifically and tell us the mistakes. In fact, over this weekend, he came up to me at a wedding and said, "You should have me on so I can tell you how many times you've been wrong."
7. I was just naming a number.
That's okay. When he comes on, he'll tell you that that's wrong. But this one's from the first episode, where we said that we did not know where the word doxing came from. And he gives us a description of, I think doxing comes from the root word document, as in my dox.
But he said, I think. So he's not sure.
Though that seems accurate.
Yeah, that sounds like it's probably true.
Sounds made up. Sorry, that's a joke for him. let's see. I've got a couple more from Sean here, but I got to get down to them because I'm just reading through my text messages. Oh, this is good. He messaged us asking us if we'd heard the fan theory about the canonicity of the Schumacher Batman films, which are the Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. There's a theory, apparently, he says. They're basically the 1966 series as it would have been in the Tim Burton universe of Batman.
I was going to say, that I've heard the theory that they are movies within movies.
Yeah.
That they are, in that universe, what a Batman movie would have looked like.
Oh, okay, sure, sure.
So in a universe where there actually is Batman, and they're actually, like, where Gotham really exists, having done all this stuff, they then make a movie. And
actors portraying the real-life character of Batman. Sure, right. Okay. He also brought up another one. In the Batman episode, we mentioned that the Batman does use guns and kills people, but it was only like in the 70s and 80s. Batman's first confirmed kill was in 1941. It was a vampire he shot with a silver bullet.
Yeah, okay.
Kelsey enough. Has an argument for this.
Vampires aren't people.
See, now we're going to get issues from the Vampire Defamation League, and they're just right. going to come after
it. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, jeez.
Vampire lives matter.
No, Joe! Why would you know, Joe?
Yeah, I don't know enough about the classic comics of any kind, really, to say anything with authority on that. I just knew that there were issues of Batman where he actually killed people.
Yeah.
That it's the new version of Batman that doesn't. It's also like the new revived version of Batman that I want to say early 90s started that made the Joker the central villain.
Yeah. Which I'm okay with because he deserves to be the central villain.
He's a great dichotomy for Batman, and having all of the other villains come from the Joker I think is a really cool way of doing it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Prior to that set of things, I'm going to give Mark Hamill credit for it.
Yeah,
prior to Mark Hamill's Joker, the Joker was just one of the members of the Rogues Gallery.
Yes, that's true. He would. Sean also wants a little explanation on how is Matt Smith considered the first of a new cycle?
Oh. Matt Smith could be considered the first in New Cycle because when he gets the regenerations from the Time Lords, he then immediately regenerates to the young version of Matt Smith. So he goes from old man about to die of old age to young Matt Smith.
Sure.
Just to give his goodbye speech, and then regenerates again. But that makes him the first in New Cycle because when he gets the new regeneration energy, he becomes his young self first.
All right, I'm going to the website real quick. Amanda wrote in for us during the horror films episode. Just an FYI, in the new Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy did it, but there's much more doubt.
Huh. Oh, that's, so I wasn't completely off my rocker when I suggested that. I totally thought I was.
She also says that Joe, you don't need to see the new one. Robert Englund is way better.
I knew that.
Back to the D&D episode, our friend Pat Frost, who gave us the cult movies episode idea. Personal thought, but bards can be wonderful fighters in just a swashbuckling way.
Yeah. And which you can see a lot in the great webcomic Order of the Stick.
Yes.
Which...
That's true.
Webcomics... bring us to our subject of today. Yes. Unless we have more things we need to clear up.
No, I think we're good. We've covered a lot of these. Thanks, folks. Keep sending in comments on the website. Go to the website, latetothepartypodcast.com, and tell us how we're horribly, horribly wrong. You can also message us on our Facebook, Late to the Party. Send us a Twitter, @L2TPPodcast. But yeah, please keep telling us when we're wrong. We love it. We think it's actually a lot of fun to find out things that you guys know that we don't.
Yeah, I don't claim to know everything. I mean, I do sometimes, but usually there's alcohol involved.
So, you're a doctor.
I'm a doctor. So yeah, I love being corrected. That's how you learn. So when we make a mistake, by all means, correct us, because otherwise we're going to continue on in our ignorance and have the wrong idea.
Absolutely.
So
when we come back, we're going to talk about internet culture.
I bet you're wondering where else you can hear us, or at least how you can download us, or other ways to listen to Late to the Party. Well, there's a bunch of them. Rob, how do they do it?
Well, it's pretty simple. You can follow us on Twitter, at L2TPPodcast. You can find us on Tumblr, latetothepartypodcast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Facebook, Late to the Party. You can also find us at our website, latetothepartypodcast.com, and Stitcher. You just search for Late to the Party Podcast. We're the one with the gray box and all caps.
And now you can also listen to us on iTunes. Just search Late to the Party Podcast. I think we've said Late to the Party like 1,000 times.
It's marketing. We get it in their heads so they just keep thinking about Late to the Party. That way they'll want to listen to Late to the Party another time.
So you're saying they should listen to Late to the Party, Joe?
I think that they should, whether they're on time or even when they're late to the party.
Oh... And we're back.
Back to talk about internet culture.
And here's my thing on this. This, dear listener, you may not agree with us on everything we say because we have our own opinions on how internet culture is and what it is. Because we're absolutely gonna touch on some of, at least touch on some of the dicier topics like Gamergate, like the Fappening, like. Reddit and the evil that is Tumblr. The evil or good that is Tumblr. I'm not a big fan of Tumblr.
Probably 4chan.
And 4chan. Oh, God, 4chan. But we're definitely going to talk about a lot of these things. And we just want you to know that these are just our opinions. You can absolutely disagree with us. And please tell us. You send a comment in. Tell us how we're wrong, please.
Just don't hack all of our personal information and put it out on the internet.
Please, this is.
My personal information is just not that interesting.
Yeah, mine's a little more interesting, but frankly, in my personal life, a lot of people know my personal information. Yeah. So,
It's something always disappointed me when I do a job, when I apply for a job and they do the
background
check. There's nothing to find. It's so boring.
Sure. So yeah, if you disagree with us, send a comment to the website. But please be civil. This isn't about saying we're right and you're wrong. It's about having an open discussion about it.
And it's about Wheaton's Law. Don't be a dick.
And that's a perfect start to our conversation. Wheaton's Law is a law on the internet created by Will Wheaton.
I actually knew this law because we've talked about it on the podcast before.
We have. That's true. Well, then in that case, Kelsey, tell us what else you know about internet culture.
Oh, geez. So, internet culture is my culture. Like, it's weird to think about a world without the internet. And so, I just kind of accept that trolls are a fact of life and social media. I don't really dive onto anything other than, Facebook and Tumblr and basic internet sites.
I don't do anything except Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I... When I was sort of campaigning for this episode, I was telling Joe that he and I kind of have a unique perspective on this because Kelsey grew up in a world where social media exists and has pretty much always existed, and the internet has always existed. And Joe and I both remember a time when not everyone had the internet.
Yeah, and this isn't obviously unique. Kelsey, what year were you born?
1992.
Anybody born before 1992 probably remembers a world without the internet. Well, yeah. Anyone born before, let's say, 85. So, the vast majority of the world.
87, and I do remember the world before the internet. Okay. So,
then I probably should have asked you first.
Well, that's okay, yeah. Somebody before 87, probably. Maybe early, maybe a little bit later, but no further than 1991, I'd say. Okay. Or 92.
This leads me to my first question. Were people... more... Were people as dickish before the internet, or has the internet just made that explode?
I think what it is the internet has made it more accessible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk and theory about this, about how the internet has allowed that safety of being behind a screen and the ability to then say anything without responsibility. You know, because there's a lot of stuff that before the internet, if you said it to people, you had to say it to their face, and usually they would punch you.
Yeah.
For good reason. But
and now, of course, you have Facebook and forums, and forums might even be old, because I remember forums, and I don't know if there are too many of those left in the world. Well, but that was like our early Facebook. That was where we went.
Prodigy.
Yeah.
What is Prodigy?
Prodigy is one of the first internet providers. It was basically bulletin boards, which were the very beginnings of social media.
Yeah.
Where basically it was all text, and you could post up to like 5 pages worth of stuff at a time. Most people didn't post that much, but, you know, and so people would organize it around various topics, and you get into online gaming, like we have MMOs. Before MMO, there was Moo and MUD. Moo is, I don't remember what it stands for. MUD is multi-user domain, but it was a text-based game where everybody was able to be involved and could do stuff, and they'd make up the world as they went.
Oh, okay.
So it's basically like Second Life, but without any graphics.
Oh, okay.
Second Life, wow.
Yeah. Even that's a dated reference.
Yeah, kind of is. But that's the thing. Like when the internet was just being a thing, becoming a thing. Yeah, you didn't. I don't think the world became more dickish. I think the world became more open to the idea of expressing opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The internet has weirdly made the world bigger and smaller.
Yeah.
It's brought us all together because I don't know how many friends I have on Facebook. I'm going to say 150, just as a guess.
Yeah, I got more than that, I know.
Yeah. But if I had 150 friends, I'm guessing 100 of them don't live within 100 miles of here.
Yeah.
You know, at least 2/3 of my friends online, I haven't seen, either haven't seen in person in years or have never met in person.
Mm. Right.
So in that way, it makes the world smaller. But it also makes the world bigger because you have access to so much more, and you can say these things hidden behind a screen name or an icon or an avatar or something like that, and you can get away with a lot more. But because of that, we have laws like don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And which I see most in online gaming.
Being dicks or not being dicks?
Not being dicks. See, there used to be this whole thing where, like, if you played an online game, people were going to start calling you the worst things you'd ever heard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or griefing is what I remember being called.
Oh, griefing?
Griefing. Griefing was a combination of private messages to your character in an MMO and characters within the MMO keeping you from getting certain things by either killing your character or stopping your character or something. And it was usually a much higher pointed character fucking with a smaller pointed character. And it was just another form of cyberbullying, really.
Yeah, one of the earlier forms of cyberbullying.
Yeah.
But I mostly ran into it. I, for a long time, would not play any video game that included an online component.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's trash talk. Trash talking is fine. But when the trash talking starts getting incredibly personal and talking about parentage and talking about sexuality and just being relentlessly aggressive, that really, you know, makes you not want to do it.
Mm.
But over the last couple of years, I've gotten back into it largely because ever since Will Wheaton started this movement, it's actually picked up. And I go and I play games, and not only do people not dicks to each other, they'll call someone out if they are a dick.
Yeah.
I have on occasion even heard somebody says something and somebody goes, dude, Wheaton's Law. And that's it. And then there's an apology.
Yeah. And that's a thing that I see when I used to play League of Legends. Now, I know Bree hates it because it is full of trolls at this point. When Bree was on, she was talking about League of Legends and how it just really sucks for the community. But that said, there is a portion of it that there is a player built council that essentially moderates what happens in games. Like, if you're purposefully losing the game because you just don't like another player in the room, or if you're saying disparaging language in the chat, someone can complain about it and send it into the council board or whatever it is, and they will review it and look at it and go, okay, yeah, this is a problem, or say, no, this is, you're just being a dick. And we'll judge either way, and sometimes that involves barring an account. And there are problems to it, from what I understand. I don't play anymore, so I don't want to go too far into it and say anything that is, you know, slanderously untrue.
Yeah, but there's it's kind of like a government developing in a vacuum, because before that, you have anarchy. There is this one video that I think is hilarious, but is awful when you really think about it. It's from the earlier days of World of Warcraft. What happened was, and I don't remember any names here, but a player died. The person, not like their character. In real life, they died. And they had all these friends from around the world because of World of Warcraft. You know, social network. None of them could come to the funeral. So what they did is they held an online funeral for the character. And they put it somewhere where anyone could come in. Unfortunately, putting it where anyone could come in meant anyone could come in. And this one group, this one guild of people came in all, like, with everything up, like, all, everything buffed, everything ready to go, and slaughtered everyone at the funeral. And the video they put out is really funny because it cuts back and forth between the very solemn, you know, the soft music of the funeral and then, like, some upbeat rock band as they're coming in on their giant war machines and everything like that. And then when they come in, it's Cotton Eye Joe as they slaughter everybody. So it's a funny video, but it created this huge backlash. Because it was one of those things where we realized, like, you guys are just huge dicks. This was a bunch of people coming trying to mourn someone.
A real person, yeah.
Not even I lost my character, let's have a funeral. Like, mourning the human being. And these people took advantage of that to slaughter a bunch of people and take their stuff. And that was awful. And I don't know if that actually inspired Wheaton.
I don't either.
But, Will, if you're listening... thank you for listening. Let us know if that did it, because I'm actually really curious.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I won't pretend to believe that Will Wheaton is listening to our podcast. If you are, thanks, bud. But
maybe we'll tag him on Twitter.
Oh yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, but to be fair, a lot of this idea comes from the Wheaton's Law of don't be a dick.
Yeah, I would say Wheaton is one of the, like, founding fathers, patron saints type whatever of our podcast.
And of being a good internet citizen. Yeah,
he's just a great citizen. And so is Felicia Day, who's another one just like that.
And another one of our founding fathers, and who was nice enough to give us a little shout out.
Yeah. And Felicia Day is really cool. Like, I've only recently gotten into Twitter, so we'll start talking about that as internet culture.
Sure.
And one of the things that I've discovered is if you tag celebrities, sometimes they actually respond.
Yeah.
Like, I've had little conversations with Felicia Day, just where she says something and I say something back and she responds.
Yeah.
Just little things, you know. I would put money on the fact that she has no idea who I am. Yeah. But that's okay. It's just really cool, and it humanizes them and gives that connection. And I think that it's very smart for them to respond to fans, not just in the aspect of helping their careers, but also in that humanizing because of things like Gamergate.
Which we discussed on the first podcast.
Yes.
Briefly.
Briefly.
So the brief summary, Gamergate, was that people reacted very, very poorly to something and started attacking the people rather than discussing the ideas.
Yeah. And that's my opinion on it, too, is that the outrage was all right. The result of the outrage was just not okay.
Yeah.
The response
was wrong.
The response was wrong. The outrage to someone calling out this portion of gaming where women aren't developers and women very rarely get developing jobs. The outrage from the community going, you know, don't point out what's bad in our community. We don't like that. We don't want to think about it. That's okay. The response of, we don't want you to do that, and so we're going to retaliate against you, that was wrong.
Yeah.
That was the part that I think is absolutely inappropriate and disgusting.
I mildly disagree with you. I think it is wrong to be outraged at being pointed out that you're being a hypocrite or that you're being a bad person.
I think it's a natural human response. I think
it's a natural reaction.
It's a natural human response.
Yeah, it's a natural human response. When somebody says, hey, you're being a dick, your natural reaction is to try and defend yourself.
Yeah.
But it's
hey,
not...
Hey, fuck you, buddy. No, yeah. Fuck you. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, that's what
I'm
is.
Saying is it's not okay to just be outraged that people are saying you're doing things wrong. It's okay to feel that outrage and then react in a mature, positive way.
Yeah.
But what they did was the opposite.
Yeah.
And the internet makes it really easy to just go with your basic human instinct because it's right there. You can post it in a second.
Yeah. Instant gratification. The id. All over the place.
Sploosh.
Ew.
Sorry.
But anyway, the thing with celebrities responding to tweets, because I've also had conversations now with Gigi Edgley, who also was nice enough to...
To give us a little plug, yeah.
Plug.
Who is that?
Gigi Edgley? Farscape, right?
Yes, Farscape. Okay. Did you ever see that? Have you ever heard that show?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Farscape was a very interesting and progressive for its time science fiction show. Largely about this one guy who goes through a wormhole and it's another part of the universe and then having to deal with that. And he's on a like prison ship and the prisoners take over and, you know, then it goes from there.
And then adventures ensue.
Yeah.
Gigi Edgley was a character on the show.
Yeah. She played Chiana, who is a very interesting, very alien character. And Gigi Edgley, as an actress, did an amazing job of having very non-human movement.
Ooh, so she, like how so, like...
Sometimes kind of feline, sometimes just... She would do things with body language, mostly, that just really pointed her out as alien, not as human being in an alien costume.
Right.
And that was just amazing, and she was really great about that. She's also, like we said, like, nice enough to plug us. Michael Bane, by the way, he was there. He was not willing.
He was not willing to plug us? He was not willing. Well, all right.
Which is
and
cool.
That's fine.
And like he wasn't a dick about it. Don't get me wrong. He said, I can't. I don't know anything about that. I can't put my name on that.
Sure.
Which was like
fair.
Yeah.
Michael, if you're listening, did you give him a card?
Yeah, I did.
Awesome, Michael, if you're listening, this is what we're about. Thank you for saying no to us because that's perfectly reasonable, man.
Yeah.
No worries. But hey. Send us an email with a voiceover. That'd be really cool.
Anyway, so that having these conversations on Twitter makes them more human and more as a real person. And so when you have that urge to attack a celebrity and be a troll, that humanizing element of it might make you stop and realize that when you say something really offensive... You're going to offend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think on some late night show, they do the mean tweets.
Oh, it's Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Celebrities read mean tweets about themselves.
Oh, that sounds horrible. Well, it sounds funny, but it I feel bad horrible. For the celebrity.
Okay, this is sort of the opposite of the Warcraft idea. It's taking dicks on the internet and making something funny out of it, and more than that, making fun of the trolls on the internet.
Yeah. And exposing them.
And exposing them as, because their Twitter name, their Twitter handles are right there up on the screen, and the celebrity they're talking about is reading the comment, and they're just,
some read of them, it, and some of them respond to it.
Yeah, some, yeah. Sophia Vergara has a great one, and she was reading one, and it was something like, Sophia Vergara talks and looks like she sucks a lot of dick. And then she just looks at the camera and goes, what's wrong with sucking dick? Like, just sort of very, very, you know, fiery Latina style. It was, yeah. It was very much who she is. It was very funny. But I think that's absolutely the opposite of what you're talking about with the Warcraft
thing. It's the opposite of the Warcraft thing.
It's taking shitty people on Twitter and making something pleasant and positive out of it.
And this is, I think, the way the internet culture has shifted. Because originally that sudden freedom to be able to say whatever you want with no repercussion brought out the worst in people because there was no repercussions. But as things have developed, it's started to shift the other direction and people are being there's nothing to hold you responsible, but you're still being a dick.
Do you think there should be things that, you know, help have people be responsible for their actions on the internet, like anti-bullying laws and stuff like that? Or do you think internet regulation, it's going to figure itself out?
I don't know how to answer that. I think that on a certain level, it's going to work itself out. I think that the reason there shouldn't really be laws about that is because they're pretty much unenforceable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without completely changing what the internet is. So the self-policing, I think, works much better. And that whole attitude of self-policing is actually what made Gamergate so important to me, because it was like this ridiculously huge step backwards. You know, we've been going for years towards this idea of it's the internet, let's all be friends.
Yeah.
Pointing out that, yeah, you can't, no one can see you, but that also means you can't see race, you can't see religion, you can't see gender. You know, you can't see anything but the actual words people use.
Mm.
And that's great. It allowed for this whole experimenting with identity, creating identities, being whoever and whatever you want, identity tourism, which is a term. Lisa Nakamura wrote a book about it. I studied a lot of this stuff for my dissertation, so there's a lot of academic crap about this.
Oh, okay.
But it was becoming almost a unifying thing, because anyone could be online. And then suddenly to have this attack from this group of trolls was just a monumental step backwards.
Yeah.
But had with it a nice step forwards coming out of it, as it became, you know, yes, there's this group of horrible people, but it's a small group of horrible people, and the rest of us do not condone that.
Yeah.
And so the more people who stood up in support of the people being attacked in Gamergate, the more important that was. And while it is true that sometimes just the act of standing up got people, made people the target of some of these things, like Felicia Day, she was made a target because she stood up for what was right. The fact that the reaction to that, I think, is really important, because it's not okay to just say when somebody stands up for the right thing, you're going to attack them. You can't let that go. You have to say, no, that's not cool. And a lot of people did. And there's, you know, there's joking of it's because Felicia Day is queen of the nerds, queen of the internet, whatever. And there's some truth to that, but only in the sense of that made everybody really, I think, focus on what it was. Because Felicia Day as a character, you know, all celebrities are characters and real people. As a character, is very innocent and social anxiety and just all of the things that all of us are as nerds that made us obsess over little things. And so it was like your little sister getting attacked. And so a lot of people reacted that way. Now, I don't know what Felicia is like as a person.
Mm.
You know, I met Felicia Day, the celebrity. For like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Not necessarily Felicia Day, the person.
Right.
And to be fair, the celebrity is often the celebrity persona is oftentimes similar to their real persona, but it does come with its own guards and and safeguards and things like that to keep themselves safe, really. Yeah. To keep themselves good on the inside.
Yeah. And I'm, like, I read Felicia Day's book, which I'm going to plug. Look up what the title is so I don't get wrong. But Felicia Day wrote a book, I think it's You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost.
Almost. Yeah. I think that's right, but I'll make sure you're...
And it's largely autobiography. And it's really, really good. Like, I read it in one sitting, I just couldn't put it down.
Mm. It was You're amazing. Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, in parentheses. A memoir, Felicia Day.
But at the same time, how much of that is really the real her? And obviously there's a lot left out, so, you know, you get to meet... When you meet a celebrity, you get to meet the celebrity's character.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and I'll go, try and go back on topic after this, this is what driven home most with Mark Shepard. Because I went to the Supernatural convention a couple months ago and got to sit down in a room with just a couple people and Mark Shepard, and I got to meet Mark Shepard, the person.
Mm.
And that was awesome. And he was insightful, he was interesting, he was a person, a human being. Then we went to his panel and we saw Mark Shepard, the actor.
Mm.
And they're amazingly different. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, obviously. But it's so cool to see the real deal.
Yeah. And doesn't the internet, like, kind of give us all... You say with celebrities, but everybody has an internet persona.
Yeah.
And everyone has a real-life persona. And I don't know. I was going to make a point with that. Don't know what it was.
That's a hugely important point. We do have these personas that we create on the internet.
Yeah.
And it is that we create. There are a side of ourselves that we decide to present. Some portion of who you are that you decide to show the world. But a lot of people very carefully craft what they say, what they put on their Facebook pages, what they put on Tumblr, all these things. I mean, haven't you ever had that moment of, like, I kind of want to put this on, but I don't want people to think badly of me?
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
or you start writing something on Facebook and then you realize, I really couldn't post that.
Yeah, and I've absolutely done that, but over the past few years, I've... For me, as a person, I'm fairly outspoken in my personal life. People know quite a bit about my life, warts and all.
Right.
You know what, I'll just say it here. I have a criminal record. I have not had the greatest, you know, job history. It's fine. That's who I am as a person. And over the past few years, I have come to realize that my internet persona has sort of not had that as much freedom as my real life persona. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that...
That you felt restricted on the internet?
That I felt restricted on the internet. So, in the past couple of years, I've started being more open about my personal opinions and feelings on the internet. Being as polite as possible, mind you, because if you're not polite, what's the point?
Yeah, you're not going to get any real discussion.
You can't have a real discussion with anger. You can't have a real discussion about something with hatred. It just can't happen. It's not good. But if you present a topic in a polite, civil tone...
People are more likely to listen.
People are more likely to listen and discuss.
Yeah.
And I think that's important in this world.
But, that said, it's great that you're more honest of who you are on the internet. But the internet also allows you to actually be someone else.
Yeah.
In my research is where I found most of it, like the transgendered community... is huge online.
Because
for a lot of them, it's the only place they can be the person they feel that they really are. And a lot of times, there are a lot of different forums and websites and groups that people join as they start going through this transition. As they start transitioning from one gender to another. And they learn how to be this person on the internet.
Mm.
And then slowly develop from there. And that is one thing that's great. I mean, that's amazing. But there are some people who do that same kind of pick a different identity that have no interest in changing their real life. You know? And I think that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's awesome. I'll admit it publicly. I like going online and pretending to be different people of vastly different backgrounds. I oftentimes will go on and pretend that I'm a woman, not for sex, Rob.
You look at me and assume these things.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, but you assume them, and that's what hurts.
Yeah. But just for this opportunity to let that part of your brain be in control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really this interesting thing because you get to be different people.
But doesn't... There's that double-edged sword always with the internet, because you have this wonderful opportunity to be whoever you want, and then you have situations like catfishing, and when making someone...
Yeah. Would what, you please what explain is, catfishing?
Yeah.
Do you not know what catfishing is?
That's why I press the button.
I kind of do, but...
Oh my god! I know something you don't! Oh, this never happens. Okay, so catfishing...
The little happy dance that Kelsey just did was adorable.
Okay, so catfishing is generally when you make a fake persona on the internet and you get someone to either fall in love with you just for fun and kicks, or you get them to send you shit. It's basically just creating a fake person and making an emotional connection with somebody else online.
To fuck with them.
To fuck with them, essentially.
Okay.
So a scam.
So a scam. Yeah. And it's not always, you know... super ill intent to get money or whatever.
Sometimes it's just for the trolls.
Yeah, well, it's just for the trolls, and then there's a whole show about it, and there's some people that, you know, just do it for the human connection, that they just want to have a relationship with somebody, so they'll create this fantastic person that everyone will love. But,
huh. See, that I don't think is wrong. That, I think, is a good thing. I think it's totally okay to create who you wish you could be in the hopes that you'll become that person. It's when you start doing things like expecting people expecting to meet you in person.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is where you get into the problem. Or sending you stuff or whatever. But I think the trying on the shoes of being the popular kid is a good idea.
Valid, but I always feel like the person on the other side of the computer that doesn't know... that you're putting on the false persona, I kind of feel bad for them, because I believe most people are being truthful on the internet. Maybe I'm just kind of gullible.
Well, that's an interesting point of internet culture. You have to pick a side in that way. You have to either decide that you're just going to trust whatever people say, and whoever you claim to be, that's who you are. Okay. Or you just assume everyone's lying. They both have benefits.
I again state that I think there's a third... there's a third part of this that of which I'm the only member.
I doubt you're the only member. What is it?
It's that close friends friends I have on the internet that I've met in real life, I believe, are telling the truth, whereas everything else on the internet is a lie, and I should be skeptical about it.
Okay, I think it is interesting, by the way, that the news is becoming more accurate on the internet than it is in the news.
Oh yeah.
It's just an interesting shift. But, like I said, there's benefits either way. If you assume everyone's lying, then you're never going to be disappointed. And you just, you know, they're lying anyway. So there used to be this joke of the internet where men are men and so are most of the women.
yeah.
Which isn't true anymore. But... if you just assume everybody's lying, who cares? Mm. I think it's the same way if you assume everybody's telling the truth. Also, personally, just from my view of identity, I think that it's more accurate to believe what people say. If I meet you online in some chat program and you tell me that you're a 55-year-old black woman when you're actually a 22-year-old white girl, in my mind, you're a 55-year-old black woman. You know, mm-hmm. you are being the person you are claiming to be. And as long as you are performing that identity, I'll buy it. I'll even give you a little bit of benefit of the doubt, you know. Because I think it's just better to believe that people are who they say they are. Largely because it's the internet. They actually can be whoever they want to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's the two different camps. And it is a double-edged sword, certainly. Mm-hmm.
don't know. I think I may perhaps be one of the only members of my camp, but...
Well, I think it's actually really common to have that. I trust people that I know.
Yeah. And the rest of the world I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And I think that trust sometimes extends to people that you haven't met if you have a long enough relationship with them.
Yes. Or something like... I'm a big fan of citing your sources and having that trusted name in news or the right. trusted source. For the longest time, I did trust Huffington Post. That's not so much true anymore for me.
Yeah.
Specifically over the last week where they did a really shitty thing to the creator of Oatmeal. They were hotlinking... Hotlinking is where you post media from a website without crediting the author. And what that does is essentially steals their bandwidth, which they have to pay for, without giving them any of the views that you've gotten from looking at that. So he, the creator of Oatmeal, did a thing where he... they had the hot link, and so since he owns it, he changed the image to say, "Dear Huffington Post, stop hot linking my stuff. It costs this much money. I'm sending you the bill." And the other thing, Will Wheaton.
Yeah, I should bring this up.
Will Wheaton published a blog post a few weeks back, and the Huffington Post wanted to share it on their website, and. He asked them how much they paid, and they said, "We pay an exposure." And he said, "No, you pay me money."
And then put out another blog post and tweets and all that kind of stuff, pointing out that as an artist, if you're an artist, you need to be paid. You deserve to be paid. If they are willing to publish it, they should be willing to pay you for it. Which I think is a great point, because you can't eat exposure. And exposure can't pay the bills.
Yeah.
And the more we get that through our heads in culture and get the idea of, just because you can get it for free doesn't mean you should, I think the more art there will be.
Yes.
Which, do you think internet culture has the availability of being able to just produce all this stuff, has it led to a better quality stuff? I'm sorry, everybody. I'm really sick and my voice is like losing itself.
So let me see if, just tell me if this is what you're asking. If the sudden flood, the ability to put everything out there, does it make things better or worse?
Correct.
Okay. I think, and this is my opinion, first one then the other. At first, I think it makes things worse because any idiot can do it. And most of them do.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to... like Vanity Press is a perfect example of this. There was a time...
What is Vanity Press?
Vanity Press is where you pay someone else to publish your book.
Okay.
There was a time where if you went to Vanity Press, that pretty much meant you were never going to make a living as a writer. Because no one would touch you at that point. But it's becoming this thing where people are actually, that's how they're making their careers, and Vanity Press is starting to overtake regular publishing because people are marketing themselves and actually selling their work, and it works really well. But at first, there's this huge flow of anything anybody wants to put out there.
And they did.
And they did.
And it wasn't necessarily quality writing.
Right. But... as people start getting used to it, they start expecting more, and you start getting actual battles of popularity. So who's going to get the most hits? And then it brings back that level of quality. So I think it loops back around. I think at first, there's a lot of crap, and then the best stuff rises to the top. As it does any time there's a new technology to send things out. I think that's just how it works.
Yeah. And I think that's true. And I think there's an important thing to be discussed here, which I feel like we've missed a little bit, which is that we tend to talk about, you know, the squeaky wheel of the internet, which is like the bad stuff of the internet, and coming from the phrase squeaky wheel gets the grease. We hear so much about...
I was saying it
for people who didn't understand what I was talking about, because half the time I don't understand what I'm talking about. But we talk about, you know, the bad things of the internet, like Gamergate, like the Fappening, which was...
All right. That's the second time you've mentioned that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, the Fappening was a hack of a bunch of celebrities' phones, uh-huh. and they posted a lot of their nude pictures online on Reddit.
Ah, okay.
And it was a huge invasion of privacy. It was,
Yeah. And one thing I think is interesting, actually, about that is it brought to light an important part of the discussion of rape culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, a lot of people responded with the, well, if you didn't want that to happen, you shouldn't have naked pictures on your phone. Which is the equivalent of, if she didn't want to be raped, she shouldn't dress like that.
Yeah.
And is just as wrong. Yeah. But it was easier to see how ridiculously wrong it was with, when it was people taking things from people's phones.
Yeah.
Than it is when you put it other ways.
But so we talk about these things. The bad parts of internet culture, but I feel like oftentimes we miss the good things, and I'm specifically thinking of in YouTube, in the early days of YouTube, 06-07, there was a YouTuber by the name of Geriatric 88, I think was his handle name, or Geriatric 32 or something like that. Anyways. It was a 72-year-old shut-in man who posted video blogs about life and about just philosophy and just discussing things and just talking about, you know, these are the many things I've learned over my life. And he was huge. And this is a guy who doesn't see people.
Mm-hmm.
But now he has thousands and thousands of friends on the internet who love what he's doing and talk about and enjoy his content and enjoy what he has to say about the world. And it gives one guy in England this connection to the rest of the world. And I think that's a big thing that we miss sometimes is that internet culture also connects the rest of the world in a good way.
Right. I mean, YouTube is that exactly the lots of stuff, and then it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that you can find on YouTube that are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's this girl whose name I can't remember, but somebody will probably point it out to me. She made dubstep violin music.
Lindsay Sterling.
Lindsay Sterling.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you. And she's amazing. Her stuff is really, really good and really cool. And she made like $6 million last year.
Yeah.
But she started just as a thing on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, well, talking about just as a thing on YouTube, that's what Felicia Day did.
Yeah.
Felicia Day is like the ultimate success story of YouTube.
Yeah. She started the Guild on YouTube.
Yeah. And she got it popular enough that people were willing to donate money for it, and so they were able to pay for more stuff. And she ended up getting YouTube actually funded the channel Geek and Sundry, which apparently almost drove her crazy trying to do, because she was doing like 400 hours of content a year.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So YouTube has created a whole new brand of celebrity, and not just that, of general helpfulness, because there's a ridiculous amount of help on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to learn how to do, someone on YouTube can show you.
You can find a channel, yeah.
Now, that said, there's a lot of bad examples of this, too. I recommend, if you have several hours to spare and want to laugh a lot, look up Viral Video Film School. It's a bit that used to be on this show, and it goes through some of the worst stuff on the internet, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah. Or you can just look through the horrible stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
But you can go to 4chan or Reddit for that.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, I think it's very important.
What's wrong with 4chan and Reddit? I'm familiar with Reddit, not familiar with 4chan.
4chan... Oh, let's see. What's the best way to describe this?
Is it like a forum setup or like...
You know, I haven't looked at 4chan in about 10 years.
I haven't either, but it used to be. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you think of the internet as being like a normal world, and then there's a septic system, where all the worst, awful shit is. Mm-hmm. Below that, you have 4chan.
I was going to say that, you know, I was going to equate the internet to a city, and then you've got the red light district, and then you've got that one shop in the red light district that it seems like nobody actually goes there, and yet they're still open. That's 4chan.
Yeah. It's a place that has become, like, the home of the most just vitreous hatred.
Yeah. And I'm sullying my computer right now.
So. Yeah. Like, the worst of the worst trolls, that's where they are.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. The red light district, the one place where you know that you're going to get a disease if you walk too close to the door, those people won't go on 4chan.
So now I understand why 4chan is horrible. Reddit, why so bad?
Reddit is the sewage system versus underneath the sewage system. They're not great either, although they're better.
Yeah. Basically, the people on 4chan started to realize that the only people who were listening to them were other people as horrible as they are. And so some of them started putting things on Reddit instead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, 4chan still looks like a forum, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's where you get... A lot of memes start there, especially the really awful ones, the really offensive ones.
Some of which I love. Yeah. You know, I enjoy offensive humor. It's fine. It's sure. Okay to enjoy offensive humor.
Yeah. Anything can be funny.
Yeah.
So, memes. What is technically classified as a meme? Does it just have to be a picture and words, or, like, that... I wouldn't know how to define a meme if my mother asked me.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hang on. Technical
definition. I'm going straight for...
Straight to the source.
Straight for the Wikipedia explanation of a meme.
Before we get Rob's explanation, my thought is that it's... taking something that exists and applying something else to it to have a running joke.
I like that definition. That's a very solid one.
So, yes, sometimes it is a picture with words. Other times it's where they take just... There was the one of Leonardo DiCaprio walking very happy.
I love that.
They then just put him in all these different pictures.
Including one where he's walking through Stalingrad, I believe.
Yeah.
In 1941.
Yeah. So, like, some that are... I mean, it's funny because it's so surreal.
And weird and absurd, yeah.
But it's something that you can easily reproduce and keep doing, and it goes all kinds of different places. What does Wikipedia say?
Wikipedia says, a meme is an idea, behavior, or style that spreads from person to person within a culture. Sometimes it can be speech, gestures, rituals, other imitable phenomena with a mimicked theme. So, in the case of internet memes, this would be the Scumbag Steve picture. It's the guy with the backwards facing snapback cap and the really puffy jacket, and it's always something something something, you know, like it's always what is it, tells mom not to go out with new boyfriend, had 5 girls in his bed last night or something like that, something silly like that, whatever.
So and it's the repeatable message. But you get things like the soon meme.
Ugh.
Where they take a picture and they just zoom in on somebody's eyes.
Oh, okay.
With this soon idea. So things like that, it's...
I like any picture with Grumpy Cat. I actually think he's hilarious.
Grumpy Cat is a perfect example of a meme. And they tend to go viral.
Yeah.
And viral videos and viral advertising is so weird to me.
Why?
Because it's so new.
Okay.
10 years ago, there was no such thing as a viral video.
Mm. Yeah.
10 years ago? Like, no, there were viral videos.
Okay, 15 years ago, let's say, just to be safe.
15 years ago? Yeah, all right, I'll give you that one.
So in the year 2000, there were no viral videos.
I'm sorry. In the year 2000!
I love that on Conan, and my favorite thing about it was they kept doing it.
Yeah. After the year 2000, yeah.
I think the last one I saw them do was in 2013.
They still do it.
Talking about the future of the year 2000.
Yeah.
But this idea of somebody just randomly making a video and putting it online and it suddenly getting millions and millions of views.
Yeah.
That just wasn't a thing. Yeah. But viral videos are better than commercials. Like, there are entire marketing departments who exclusively try to make viral videos. Because those are better exposure than anything else, dollar for dollar.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's, you can't make a, like, you can make a viral video, but you can't make it, like, it's, do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it's that question.
You can make
of,
a video, but, like, how do you make it viral?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how much you can really control of that, but you hear these other things of, like, the Pocket House Canon D appearing in almost every music. Every song.
Yes.
Or the same four power chords being the basis of every pop song. And while those are talked about for laughs, and it is funny, it's also that real point of these are the bass sounds that really appeal to people. So if you can figure out what those things are that really appeal to people, maybe you can just manufacture viral videos. I don't know.
I suppose you could.
A lot of them involve traumatizing children.
Yeah.
Or at least they used to.
There is... Jimmy Kimmel does one every year right around this time. Well, today we're filming... We're recording on November 1st, and tomorrow night I'm sure Jimmy Kimmel will come out with his episode of his annual prank of having parents record their children as they tell them on November 1st that they ate all of their Halloween candy. And watching them cry. He does this every year, and it's become so popular that recently, for Back to the Future Day, Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox showed up on the episode and played their characters, Doc Brown and Marty McFly. And Jimmy asks Doc Brown, "How do I die?" And Doc Brown goes, Oh, it's horrible. You get killed by a bunch of children for tricking them into thinking that their parents ate all their Halloween candy. Yeah.
Awesome. And,
but that one, that's an example of a viral video that works as marketing. Because Jimmy Kimmel gets people to look at his YouTube channel, gets people to watch his show through viral videos.
Yeah.
And it works.
Lindsay Sterling, was that the name?
Lindsay Sterling, yeah.
Yeah, Lindsay Sterling... $6 million she made last year.
Doing what?
YouTube.
Just YouTube.
Well, YouTube, what, and on she YouTube? Tours. She tours she, with her music.
Yeah,
as well.
She was able to start touring with her music.
Oh, yeah, the violinist. Yeah.
And was able to start releasing albums and all that kind of stuff because she had this huge fan base that she built up slowly.
From the internet.
From the internet.
Which is very cool.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people who will... make their careers doing that. Like, for example, Brie.
Yeah.
Who was here a couple weeks ago. That's what she does. She just is a person on the internet who people pay because they find her entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think that's fantastic. Not just because it's something I would love to do myself.
Right.
But also just in the idea of supporting art and artists. I think it's really cool. If you like what somebody does, support them.
Have you ever read a book called Extras?
No.
You really should read it.
Okay.
It has this whole theme in it that in the future there is no, like, real currency system. But everyone is hooked up to a camera all the time, and you basically get money for views. So the more entertaining of a person you are, and it's they go into the double-edged sword of...
Sure.
If you ever, it's a really quick read. It's a teen fiction, but it's a really good book, and it's random ADD thought. Sorry.
Neat. No, that's okay. But with that, I think we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and do the rest of the show.
Hey, this is Kelsey, and I want to know what you think I need to get a nerd education in. We would love if you sent your ideas for future podcasts to our email. That is tppodcast@gmail.com.
And we're back.
Okay, today's topic really brings to mind one of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the episode with the errata, and that's that there's just so much to talk about. Like, when we first went to commercial, my thought was, we'll come back, let's talk about cyberbullying. But we're already over an hour.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And if we start talking cyberbullying, this is going to be a
really long episode, and we don't need to do that to you guys.
So while it is a hugely important thing and something that does need to be talked about, it's not something we can talk about today. We don't have the time to cover everything about internet culture.
No.
So we'll come back to it. We'll revisit it. And we're going to revisit everything else, probably.
Oh, yeah. We're going to revisit a lot of topics here, and we're gonna miss stuff. And the one thing you guys can do is keep telling us when we're wrong.
And you guys can tell us what you want us to revisit next.
Yeah.
Because if there's something you want us to say more about, let us know. And we'll say more about that thing. Even if it's like you heard this episode and you say, well, I want to hear what you guys think about cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Let us know. We'll record another episode.
We're here to dance for your entertainment.
We are monkeys, more or less. Dance, monkey, dance.
I don't know why you went into a Chris Walken impersonation there, but you did.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
We're going to get out of here, but first we're going to plug a thing that we're doing. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, we're doing this tomorrow. If you're listening to us on Tuesday, the 10th of November, we're doing it today, this afternoon. If you're listening to this after this, you missed it. Sorry. November 10th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., we are going to go over to our friend Bree's house, our previous guest of the show, Tactical Pinup. She's doing a 168-hour streaming marathon for charity. The charity is Extra Life, and they support the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. Specifically, the one she's doing will be for Gillette Children's Hospital here in Minnesota. I believe St. Paul, if I remember correctly. Anyways, she'll be raising money on her channel at twitch.tv/tacticalpinup. And from 4 to 8, we'll be sure to link you guys in the description down below on the website for sure. But from 4 to 8 p.m., we will be helping. We're going to be playing some video games. We'll be playing some board games. We might even record an episode or two while we're there.
It would be a really interesting time because you can actually, it can be a time where you can actually put video along with the audio, which unfortunately does mean you'll have to see what we look like, and we apologize for that.
We'll get Joe a mask. Don't worry.
No.
No? All right.
Different type of activity when we have masks.
So yeah, Tuesday, November 10th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., we're going to be at Tactical Pinup's twitch.tv channel. We'll be streaming live, we'll be playing video games, we'll be playing board games. You'll see how awful I am at Halo. It's going to be great.
Ooh, I'm awful at Halo too. It's going to be fun.
Awesome!
Really? We'll be awful I'm together. Super good at Halo. No, JK.
That's another internet thing, by the way.
Internet language. We totally
lingo.
Forgot.
We did miss lingo.
So much stuff to talk about.
But all right. You know what? That's the plug for the week.
And now to get out of here with Kelsey's task, which I'm going to expand to everybody. This is everybody's task. Follow Wheaton's Law.
Nice. Nice.
Follows
Wheaton's Law. And if you don't know what it is, well, Wheaton's Law is don't be a dick on the internet. Or, no, it's actually don't be a dick.
I was going to say, let's cut the internet. Just don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you next time.
Have a good time, folks.
Bye.
Hey, folks. Today's music was donated graciously by Mr. Byron Siren. You can find Byron at his website, byronsiren.yolasite.com. Or you can always find him in our Find Us page. Just click on his website there. I wanna fake this life.